Good afternoon. I must tell you that it is a pleasure to be here in this great community in São Paulo in Brazil. I feel very comfortable. I feel at home, actually. It's the same people, the same mentality, the same menhagim, the same safe. You have a beautiful kahal. You're very warm, you're very hospitable, and you make it easy for a guest like me from New York to want to come back again, Be'ezrat Hashem, of course with your permission. But I must say that when I go back to New York, I come back with a very good report. I've seen a lot of what your community is built of. I was able to visit the yeshivot yesterday, the Beit Yaakov and the Yavne. Yesterday I spent the afternoon at the club and we were able to give a derasha in front of the seniors of the community. To me this was the highlight. This was such a special moment. And then last night to come to this magnificent synagogue, almost 1,000 people to come here at derash. Ashrechem v'ashrei chalkechem. You're very lucky. The community is headed, in my opinion, in the right direction. Don't rush. You'll get there. You can't skip steps. This afternoon, I'm very happy to learn of the organization Nemala. I'm surprised that this is a new organization. In America, we have a saying, ladies first. Ladies are always first. When God gave the Torah, He presented it to the woman first. Koto amar lebet Yaakov v'tagid lebnei Yisrael. You should not discriminate. It's equal opportunity. The ladies deserve just as much advantage and access to the study of the Torah as the men. After all, it is you that are going to raise your family and your children. So therefore, the front line in raising children is the mothers. So I congratulate you for this wonderful and integral organization called the Ma'ala. May it continue to grow and flourish. Amen ken yi ratzon. Well, the topic that I came to speak about, as you can imagine, I speak around the world, Baruch Hashem, and many times the people say, they tell me what to speak about. They give me the topic. So many times they'll say, Rabbi, can you speak about raising children? I said, I don't speak about that. They said, what? That's the most important. Chinuch Yiladim. I said, I know, I heard about it, but it's not on my menu. I don't have a derash on that. It can't be. You have 10,000 derashot. You're telling me you never spoke about raising children? I said, no, come to think of it, I never did. They said, but nobody ever asked you? I said, oh, they always ask me, but I don't speak about it. They said, why not? I said, because I have a different derasha. It's similar, but it's a little different than when you were asking. You asked me about giving a class about raising children. I'd rather give a class about raising parents. That's a more important subject. Because sometimes you go to a parenting class and they just tell you what to do to your children. But they make the big mistake. Because the best way to raise children is not by trying to make your children better. It's trying to make yourself better. And through the good example of parents, there's a saying that says, a picture is worth 1,000 words. When a child sees a good model, that'll have more impact and more influence than all the speeches and all the musar and all the arguments that you're going to have. The children need today role models. So if you're going to ask me to give you a class on raising children, I cannot. But I have a very good class on raising parents. And this is what I have to tell you this afternoon. Well, Nashim Tzadkaniyot, righteous ladies of this community in Brazil, we're going to read this week Parashat Vayera. Vayera is the story of Akedat Yitzhak. It's one of my favorites. Yitzhak Avinu was 37 years old. He wasn't a young boy. He was a man. Abraham was 137. This was his only son from Sarah Imenu. He waited for 100 years for this child. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Kahna, et bincha, et yichidecha, asher ahavta, et Yitzhak, velech lecha, el eres amoria, go take your beloved son Yitzhak, take him to Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, v'ha'aleu le'olah, and put him on the Mizbeah, and bring him as a sacrifice. And we are amazed. We are amazed by the commitment of Avraham Avinu. We're amazed by the obedience of Yitzhak. He listened to his father. And there's so much analysis in this story. The big question is, who was the test? Was the test to Avraham or was the test to Yitzhak? We could debate this all day long. Who was more difficult, for the father to bring the son as a qurban or for the son to go on the Mizbeah and let himself be slaughtered? It's a good philosophical debate. But when I read this story, I read it as a parent. Avraham was everything, but he also was a parent. And what I want to know is, how did Avraham raise a son that when you tell him, go on the Mizbeah, he listens? Now, our children listen. Yes, when you tell them, go to sleep, it's an argument. When you tell them, go eat. But this is much more difficult. This is saying, give up your life for God. So my question is, as a parent, what did Abraham do, and Sarah, of course, to succeed that at 37 years old, Yitzhak listens? And not only listens, but he's willing to sacrifice his life. And if you're a parent, or even if you're not a parent, I hope there's some single girls here today. You don't have to be a parent to hear this. As a matter of fact, I would be happy if you don't have children yet. Because once I asked the big rabbi, at what age does the child have to be when we start giving them chinuch? And the rabbi answered me, no, once the child is born, it's too late already. It's too late? Yes, chinuch, he says, begins 18 years before your children are born. When you're learning yourself, when you're in high school, you're actually raising children because you're raising yourself. And therefore, don't wait until the child is born. The more you perfect yourself, the better chance your children have. I once brought a proof to this concept. It says in the Pasuk, Ele toledot Noah. These are the children of Noah. Noah is Sadiq, Tamim haya bedorotav. Noah was a Sadiq. He was Tamim, he was perfect. Et ha'eluhim etalech Noah. Noah walked with God. And then the next Pasuk says, Vayolid Noah shelosha banim. Noah had three sons, Et Shem, Et Ham, Et Yafet. But wait, in the beginning it said, Ele toledot Noah. These are the children of Noah. But it doesn't tell us the children until the second Pasuk. It tells us these are the children of Noah. And instead of telling us about his children, it tells us about Noah. And the explanation is, before we could tell you about the children of Noah, we need to tell you about Noah. And based on who Noah was, then you'll know who his children are. And therefore, Ele toledot Noah. These are the children of Noah. And when did Noah begin raising his children? When he began raising himself. Noah is Sadiq, Tamim, Hayab, Bedorotab. That's even before he got married. And then, now you want to know what Noah brought into the world? Well, after he fixed himself, he brought in these children. Raising parents. So the first mitzvah in the Torah is Peru Urvu. Be fruitful and multiply. Which is the mitzvah of having children. I once asked a question. Isn't it repetitive? Peru urvu. Be fruitful and multiply. It's the same thing. Why does the Torah have to say two words? Peru, Urvu. Just say Peru or Urvu. What's the difference between Peru, Urvu? There must be a difference. So I'll tell you one of the ways that I heard from my rabbis. The word Urvu does not mean multiply. It means to direct. You remember we're going to learn in this week's parasha about Yishmael. Yishmael had a hobby. He used to have a bow and arrow. And it says, Vayhi roveh kashat. He used to aim and direct his arrow. So to aim in Hebrew is to be roveh. So urvu is to direct and to aim. So the Torah is telling us, it's not enough to have the children. After you have them, after Peru, now's the more difficult part. Urvu, guide them. You have to direct them. As a rabbi, I get texts all day long. Dear rabbi, my wife is giving birth. She's in the hospital. Can you make a prayer? Of course. What is her name? Sarah Bat Rivka. You have it. Be'azat Hashem, she should have an easy delivery. And then 2 hours later, rabbi, Mazal Tov, Mabruk, we had a baby boy. You could stop praying. And my answer always is, now you have to start praying. That's the easy part. Peru is the easy part. I mean, easy for me, not for you. But the point is, now that you have the child, that's half the mitzvah. Peru, now go try to raise them. In such a chaotic world that we live in, the urvu is very difficult. As a matter of fact, now you have to start praying. However, there was a great rabbi called Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch. Rabbi Hirsch, he explains the word urvu differently. He learns the word, like I told you, to multiply. So be fruitful and multiply. I understood multiply meaning have many kids. But he doesn't say that. Although some people take it literally, and thank God they have many kids. It's very nice. God bless them. But Rabbi Hirsch learns like this. Peru, be fruitful, and multiply. Multiply what? Multiply yourself. Which means God says you have to take yourself and make a copy of yourself. How do you make a copy of yourself? We cannot put you in the machine. So the Torah says, no, we copy ourselves through our children. So Peru is be fruitful. Urbu, increase and multiply yourself, which is beautiful in our community, and I'm sure it happens here too. Many times we see children, and right away we know who their parents are. Not only because they look like their parents, but they have the same behavior as their parents. They do the same things as their parents. For example, there's one man in the community. He loves to bring flowers to the synagogue. Every Erev Shabbat, this is his mitzvah. Flowers, he brings roses and orchids, and he makes the Beit Knesset beautiful. But I remember his father used to do the same thing. His father had a love of the Beit Knesset. So look what happened. This child learned from his father. His father never told him, go to the shul, put flowers. He just saw his father doing that. And eventually, he did the same thing. His father fulfilled the mitzvah, not only of Peru, but Urvu. He duplicated himself. By the time he left the world, but he left a good copy of himself. Somebody that would continue to perpetuate his ways. We have another fellow in our community in Brooklyn, Mr. Franco. Mr. Franco once told me that he was responsible for building our synagogue in Deal, New Jersey. Please, the next time you come to Deal, you come visit our synagogue on Lawrence Avenue. It's the most magnificent synagogue. Well, who am I talking to? Maybe not like this. But what makes it magnificent is not only the beauty of the synagogue, but its location. It's right across the ocean. So from all the places where you pray, you can see the water. So it very opens your mind, and you can see the sunrise over the water. It's wonderful for Kavanah. We enjoy it a lot. We only enjoy it for 2 months a year, but those 2 months are exceptional. So I asked Mr. Franco, what inspired you to build such a synagogue? He says, Rabbi, my father, his name was Shmuel Franco, he said he built the Magen David Synagogue in Bradley Beach. Bradley Beach is where the Syrian community used to go before Deal. And he built the shul on the ocean. And I said to myself, I want to be like my father. One day I'm going to build a shul on the ocean. And he did. So you see how much impact that the children see what their parents are doing. I guarantee you, Mr. Franco Sr. never told his son, you must build a shul on the ocean. He never said anything. But he saw him do it. And it made such an impression. So although Mr. Franco Sr. passed away, he fulfilled not only the mitzvah of Peru, but he left himself, Urvu, he left a copy of himself. So one lesson has to be, our children are always watching. And we have to become the best version of ourselves. So even when we leave the world in 120 years, we leave what's called a legacy. And the legacy is going to be based on not what our children are, but the presentation that we gave to our children. So, Peru Urvu. So then my question is, how does Abraham get a son like this? I have the answer. I have the answer. Abraham Abinu kept the Torah like we keep the Torah, better than us. Friday night, he has dinner like we have. Sarah lit the candles. Abraham makes kiddush. He has guests. Yitzhak sits over here next to his father, like my children, they sit next to me. Sarah sits at the head of the table, like my wife, she sits at the head of the table. And all the guests. And after kiddush, netilat yadayim, hamotzi, and they eat a little salad, whatever it is, maza. And then, like we do on Friday night, we love to tell stories. And we love to tell our stories to our children. So, Sarah Imenu tells Abraham, Abraham, tell Yitzhak the story when you were young, what they did to you. Abraham says, Sarah, he heard the story 100 times. No, no, no. We love to hear that story, Abraham. We have guests. They never heard the story. Tell them the story. Yitzhak, Daddy, please, I love this story. It's my favorite story. He says, well, when I was young, I believed in God. I believed in one God. Everybody else in the world disagreed with me. Everybody was on one side, I was on the other side. Not literally, but of the philosophical sides. I believed one way, they believed a different way. They called me Abraham HaEvri, not because I was a Hebrew, but the word Evri means Ever. Ever means a side. I was on one side of the philosophical argument in belief of one God, and they were against me. And the main antagonist against me, his name was Nimrod. Oh, Nimrod was a bad guy. As a matter of fact, Nimrod believed that he was God. He used to go around saying, I'm God. I created the world. Really, Daddy? Did you ever argue with Nimrod? All day long. He was a terrible guy. What did you tell Nimrod? Well, one day I told Nimrod, I believe you that you're God, but you have to prove it to me. So Nimrod said, what should I do? He said, Abraham, well, I noticed that every morning the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. If you are God, please, just once, tomorrow morning, let the sun rise in the west and then set in the east. And if you could do that tomorrow morning, I will serve you as God. Nimrod said, I cannot do that. And he got angry at Abraham, because Abraham embarrassed him in front of everybody. So Nimrod made a big fire. He took wood like a volcano, a big furnace. It was in the place of Kasdim. That's where we used to live. Daddy, how big was the fire? Oh, you cannot imagine. Even standing next to it, we got hot. We had to move away. And then what did he do? He threatened me. He said, if you don't deny your God in heaven, I will throw you into the fire. Daddy, then what? I told him, my God is not for sale. My God is not cheap. I live by God and I die by God. Nobody can take away my God from me. And even if you're willing to throw me into the fire, so be it. Now all the guests are listening. And then what happened? That he took me and he gave me one more chance. And I said, I will never give up the belief in one God. And Nimrod picked me up and he threw me into the fire. And there's quiet on the table. And then what happened? I expected to die. Even Abraham says, "V'anochi afar va'efer." He says, I should have been dust. Nimrod tried to turn me into ashes. I thought my life was over. But Daddy, you're alive. Yeah, miracle. I didn't know I was going to survive it. Hashem made a miracle. In the fire, nothing happened. And all of a sudden, I was able to climb out. When Nimrod saw this, and all the people saw this, they started to applaud. And everybody said, Adonai hu ha Elohim, Adonai ha Elohim. Look at this miracle. His God saved him. Sarah Imenu says, yes, I remember that day when Abraham came home. He smelled like smoke. His suit smelled like smoke. I said, what happened to you today, Abraham? Don't ask. They threw me into a fire. Oh, that's a normal day for Abraham Abinu. And every Friday night, Abraham would tell stories. And you know who got influenced by these stories? Yitzhak Avinu. Yitzhak Avinu would hear stories about how his father was willing to die for God. And trust me, it makes an influence. I know in my family, we used to eat Friday night with my grandfather, Alav Shalom. He was a businessman, he was a tzaddik. And all my cousins would eat together with my grandfather. He lived in Deal all year round, actually. And we would visit him, and the Friday nights with my grandfather were great. After the meal was over, we would make Birkat HaMazon. My grandfather had a very special way of making Birkat HaMazon. He would sing it. He would say it very slowly. He would do it in a melody. It would take him at least 7 or 8 minutes. Now, I don't think he was having the kavanot of the Kabbalah or anything, but it was just a beautiful way of saying Birkat HaMazon. Well, me and my cousins never talked about it, but we were all getting influenced week after week to hear a man praise God in such a melodious way. You know, when he passed away, everybody wanted to do something in his memory. Nobody spoke to each other. But instinctively, what did we all do? We all donated copies of the Birkat HaMazon with his name on it. So my cousin came to me and said, well, I did it. And then my other cousin, I did it already. But who told you to do it? No, it made such an influence. On you also? Me too. And all of a sudden, we realized how one man, he never told us to make Birkat HaMazon. He never put the book in front of us. He never said, if you don't make Birkat HaMazon, you're going to get punished. But all he did every Friday night was do the Birkat HaMazon in the proper way. And today, there is not a day that I don't say Birkat HaMazon, I don't think of the image of my grandfather. So you see, that's good parenting. He wasn't raising us. Well, he actually was raising us by raising himself. So therefore, where did Yitzhak Avinu learn? Well, Abraham told him, listen, Yitzhak, maybe one day, and I'm not sure, God is going to ask you to give your life up for God. Well, maybe one day you'll be able to be like your father. And Yitzhak Avinu would say, I hope, Daddy, but I don't know. You're such a tzaddik. I'm not you. We'll see. And every week Avram would tell stories about how he gave his Mesirut Nefesh, sacrifice for Hashem. Now it's 37 years later. And Avram Avinu turns to Yitzhak and says, Yitzhak, now is your chance. Hashem asked me to jump into the fire 100 years ago. Now Hashem's asking you to jump into the fire. Yitzhak Avinu, he says, Daddy, I'm waiting my whole life. I want to be like you. The only reason why Yitzhak Avinu was able to do it, how did Abraham raise such a child? Because he didn't preach. He practiced. In Arabic we say, haki balash. Words are cheap. The talk is cheap. However, the actions are expensive. And if Yitzhak Avinu saw his father do it, so when his father told him, now I want you to do the same thing, he says, yes, my father, he could tell me what to do because he did it himself. And now they go to the Mizbeach. They get to the Mizbeach and jumps onto the Mizbeach. And he's about to slaughter. And all of a sudden the heavenly voice comes. Abraham, Abraham. Vayomer ineni. And God says, okay, don't do it. You passed the test. I had a question. Why does God have to call Abraham twice? Some say because he was having so much kavanah, he didn't hear him the first time. Abraham, they say, he doesn't hear you. Say it, Abraham. Oh, yes, don't do it. But based on what I'm telling you today, God is telling Abraham, you succeeded as a parent. Before the Akedah, there was only one Abraham in the world. Now, Abraham, Abraham, now there's two Abrahams in the world. You did not only fulfill the mitzvah of Peru, but congratulations, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Urvu. You have multiplied yourself. Now you have a legacy. You have succeeded in the greatest accomplishment of a parent, to duplicate yourself. You were able to transmit your values to the next generation. Now there's two of you. There's Abraham, Abraham, and that's the goal of life, that there should be Sarah, Sarah, and Rivka, Rivka, and Esther, Esther, and Hannah, Hannah, and Malka, Malka. All of us have to figure out a way that by the time we leave this world, there's two of us, and three of us, and four of us. Now, not every child is the same, but each child will pick up something else. This guy picked up the flowers. This guy picked up building a synagogue. But we don't only have one or two good things about us. We have many. And the child will pick the good that he sees. And now in your children, you're leaving a duplicate of yourself. Don't worry about preaching. So many parents always come to me, what should I say to my children? You don't have to say anything, to be honest. Just practice. Let them see it. There's a famous, yesterday in the shiur, in the club, we learned about Pirkei Avot. They showed me actually a beautiful translation to the Pirkei Avot that I was very impressed with. Exceptional. Anyway, in the beginning of Pirkei Avot, in the first few Mishnayot, the rabbis are teaching lessons, ethical lessons. And how do they introduce the lesson? Hu haya omer. Hu haya omer. He used to say. But I read the Mishnah differently. I read the Mishnah, Hu haya, period. First the rabbi was. First he internalized his teaching for himself. Only after he practiced, then omer. But if you're not going to practice what you preach, then the words fall on deaf ears. The child will say, my parent is a hypocrite. She tells me to behave one way, but she doesn't follow what she preaches. And therefore, it's treated as a discount. It's not even heard by the child. It's not even registered. And therefore, the secret is, huhaya. Once huhaya. Okay. Now, Omer, you remember when God gave us the Torah at Har Sinai? So that's why I always talk about raising parents. Raising parents. Forget about the children. The more you build yourself, you see, now you could go home and you could tell your children, you have to study Torah. Now they say, oh, my mother, she has money in the bank because she studied Torah today. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, in the middle of a busy day, she stopped everything she's doing and she goes to hear a shi'ur Torah. Now you showed them the example. Now you don't even have to say anything. They're going to go study Torah on their own. That doesn't happen overnight, of course. Did anybody ever teach you? I'll get back to Har Sinai. Did anybody ever teach you the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa? I'm sure you heard it 1,000 times. I don't even like to hear the story because I heard it so many times. Every time the rabbi comes, Kamsa, okay, we know the story already. Tell me a different story. Ajay with Kamsa. But it's a famous story. So I want to tell you something you didn't hear. Anyway, there was a guy called Kamsa. There was another guy called Bar Kamsa. Okay, similar names, but different. Anyway, a guy was making a wedding. He invited the wrong guy. Instead of inviting Kamsa, I invited Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa showed up, and he was the enemy of the one that was making the wedding. So the guy said, what are you doing over here? He shows, I got an invitation. No, it was a mistake. Get out of here. Go home. You're embarrassing me. He said, listen, you're running about, I'll pay for my food. This is not a restaurant. Go home. I'll pay for half the wedding. I'll pay for the whole wedding. I wish somebody like that would come to my daughter's wedding. I sent out all the wrong invitations to everybody, hoping Bar Kamsa would come to my wedding. He would pay for half the wedding. I would love it. I wasn't so lucky. Anyway, the host tells him, listen, you're my enemy. I don't like you. You're ruining my party. All the pictures, you're in every picture. You're ruining every picture. Go away. He leaves. And now the story becomes very, very serious. He doesn't just go home. He goes to Rome. And he's moser on the Jewish people. He tells the Caesar, the Jewish people have rebelled against you. And as a result of Bar Kamsa's tattling on the Jewish people, the Romans come into Jerusalem and destroy the temple. Now listen, I'm not saying that the host was right. He shouldn't have kicked them out. But okay, Bar Kamsa, you're having a bad day. Every time somebody has a bad day, you go to the government and you get the whole Jewish community into trouble to kill them? I mean, the man is crazy. Bar Kamsa is a bad guy. Good. My question is, if you read the Gemara, maybe you never saw the Gemara inside, but the Gemara says, why was Jerusalem destroyed? Because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. My question is, Hazit, what do you want from Kamsa? Kamsa, he was sitting home, he wasn't invited. The problem was Bar Kamsa. So it's not Kamsa's fault. So the Gemara should say, because of Bar Kamsa, Jerusalem was destroyed. What was Kamsa's fault? And I will tell you what the holy books say. Do you know what the word bar means? Bar. You ever hear of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Bar Yochai. What does bar mean? Rabbi Shimon, the son of. Bar means the son of. Take a guess. You know whose father Bar Kamsa was? Kamsa. There was Kamsa and his son. Kamsa's son was called Bar Kamsa. It was a father and a son. And the son was a bad guy. But the Gemara says, we don't blame only the son. We blame Kamsa for Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa became bad because he must have learned it from his father. Must have been Kamsa was a bad example. And because Kamsa was a bad parent, he was a rotten apple. And the rotten apple brings another rotten apple. And therefore the Gemara says, we don't only look at Bar Kamsa, but we say, Minjaye, where did he come from? He came from Kamsa. Kamsa u'Bar Kamsa arov Yerushalayim. That means the Jewish community was destroyed because of bad parenting. That's how severe this lesson is. Because if we fail at our mission of raising ourselves, we risk the chance that our children, unfortunately, will choose different role models from television, role models from the internet, role models from Hollywood, God forbid, role models of people that you would never let into your house, although the children have access to them. And then, God forbid, it could not only be the destruction of a Jewish family, but it could be the destruction of the Jewish nation. Akamsa u'bar kamsa. Av u'bno, a father and his son. Well, when God gave us the Torah at Har Sinai, there were many miracles that took place at Har Sinai. But one of the miracles, I have a hard time explaining it. It says, V'chol ha'am, Ru'im et hakolot. That the people that stood at Har Sinai, Ru'im et hakolot, they saw the sound. I don't know how to explain that to you. All of you are listening to me. You hear the sound. You don't see the sound. Now, you see me, but that's not the sound. The sound is emanating from me. But over there by Har Sinai, it says, Ru'im et hakolot. What does that mean? Rashi tries to explain it, and he says, it's impossible to explain such a thing. But it was a miracle. It's like one of those things we have to say, you had to be there. I can't explain it. It was unbelievable. You saw the kolot. Tell me how. You had to be there. I'm asking a simple question. The Zohar HaKadosh says, God never makes a miracle for no reason. Every miracle is to teach us something. So then why would God at Har Sinai make this miracle of V'chol ha'am ru'im et hakolot? If we can't even explain it, what is the benefit of such a miracle? What would be so bad if we heard the kolot? Why did God have to say, no, ru'im et hakolot? I will explain it to you. So God gives us the Torah. But there's a more important item that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell the Jewish people. Here's the Torah, but the question as a parent is, God, you gave me a whole Torah of 613 mitzvot. How do I transmit to my children? I need a how-to. How do I take this book and communicate it to my kids? God says, oh, I'm going to teach you. V'chol ha'am ro'im et hakolot. Let your children see the sounds, not hear the sounds. If you will act in the way of the Torah, they will see the sounds. But if all parenting is, do this, do that, they're just hearing it. In Torah, to hear the kolot doesn't work. But if they see it, we had somebody in our Bet Knesset, he would sit next to me in the shiur. Every morning we have shiur like at 5:30 in the morning. And for 7.5 years, he would come to the shi'ur. It was dafayomi. Within the first 3 minutes, he falls asleep. The next day, falls asleep. And deep sleep, he's drooling on himself, he's sleeping. So at a certain point, I said, no disrespect, you're really not gaining a lot from the shi'ur. It doesn't bother me, you could come to the shi'ur, baruch haba, but why not stay in bed? If you're sleeping anyway, you might as well be comfortable. You get out of your bed to come to the shiur tomorrow. Stay home and come an hour later. He says, Rabbi, you're right. But I have children. When my children wake up, they see my bed is empty. And mommy says, and the children say, mommy, where's daddy? Oh, daddy's learning with Rabbi Mansur. He's in the shiur. They don't know he's sleeping. He says, my children, they think I'm the Gadol Ador. They say, oh, he's with the rabbi. He's probably asking questions. He's probably giving him a hard time. My children don't know. But I do it for them. I have to at least act. If I can't be genuine, but I would do my children a disservice if they would see me in bed. How could I tell them to get up? How could I tell them to go to shul? If daddy's lazy, then no matter what you tell the children are going to learn the lesson of laziness. He says, when they get a little older, they start coming to shul, then I have to figure out a different plan, because then they're going to see. One time somebody came to the rabbi. He said, Rabbi, you're going to be so proud of me. Why? He said, look at this picture. He shows a picture of his son playing with blocks. You know, the children's blocks. And the child takes the block, and he puts it on his head over here. He says, look at him. He's 3 years old and he's putting it on his head like tefillin. Look how cute. The rabbi said, that's terrible. That means you're praying at home. How does he know? He doesn't know what tefillin is. That means he sees you praying without a minyan. So you're training him to pray without a minyan. And his children will also put blocks on their head. So it's not an easy thing to raise parents. People love coming to parenting classes because they say, great, this is all about the kids. And they hate coming to a class like this because it's nothing to do with the kids. The responsibility is all on the mother and the father. Well, in conclusion, the mitzvah of Peru Urvu, don't only focus on the Peru, but we must focus on the Urvu, not only directing them, but directing them by giving them a picture. My grandfather gave me a picture of what Birkat HaMazon is supposed to look like. Mr. Franco's father gave him a picture of building synagogues on the water. Mr. Dweck showed his kids that it's a mitzvah to bring flowers to the synagogue. Choose Torah values and be excellent in them. And make sure that your children see it. Don't be so humble. Don't be so modest. Let them know exactly what's important to you. And our children will hear the way we speak, the words we use. The Gemara says the words that a child uses, he either heard it from his mother or his father. In fact, today or the school bus, but mainly the mother and the father. When a child comes to the yeshiva and says certain words, I know he had to hear that in the house. And therefore, the mother didn't say, use this word. The mother doesn't have to say it. The child keeps on hearing the same type of talk. And before you know it, a picture is 1,000 words. Ro'im et hakolot. And therefore I say to the beautiful congregation that's here today, Baruch Hashem, you're raising yourself. I know you're doing a good job because I saw many of the children this morning and last night. They're all beautiful. They're all good. They have good values. The values were not from them. The values is from you. But they have a lot of competition. The street today is a big competition. And therefore, you have to be very, very committed to this job. And I pray that Be'ezrat Hashem, you'll be just like Abraham. That after 120 years, you'll hear from heaven. Like I said, whatever your name is, Rivka, Rivka, Rachel, Rachel. And at that point, you're going to know that you succeeded as a parent, that you left a duplicate of yourself in this world. Good luck and thank you very much.